This morning's reading is from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 14, beginning at verse 13. If you're following it on a church Bible, it's page 981. Matthew 14, verse 13. When Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from the towns. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed those who were ill. As evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place, and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so that they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food." Jesus replied, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." "We have here only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish," they answered. "Bring them here to me," he said. And he told the people to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. The number of those who ate was about 5,000 men, besides women and children. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Barbara. I'm Jill. I'm part of the team here at Christchurch, and it's lovely to see so many people here today, so many families and friends. And we have a lot of children in children. If you want to do something, there are some activities over in the Spire Coffee, the area there at the tables. There's all sorts of things related to feeding the 5,000. There's drawing, there's word searches, but everything's related to our story today. Please, children, go over and enjoy doing some of the activities there. And there is an activity for some about drawing a hand, but it's all up to you today. But we'd like you to go and work there quietly, because the adults need to listen as well. So we've got to try and give them some time to listen to what's going on. I'm probably going to move a little bit between this microphone and the handheld microphone as well, because I'm not very good at standing still. So let's see what happens in this one. I'm guessing that most of you know the story of the feeding of the 5,000. It's a story that's so familiar with. You've had it at school, you've had it spoken about before, and people just know the story. We know about the miracle that happened by feeding 5,000, more than 5,000, because there were women and children as well. And we watched this miracle happen. But we often miss the start of the story. Because if you go back to the start of the story, it starts off with when Jesus saw the crowd, he had compassion on them. And I wonder what compassion means for you. Compassion for Jesus is that he sees the need. He sees the need of the people beyond his own need. He puts his need down and goes to the needs of the people. And this is going to be our theme today about compassion and what compassion brings. If you look at this situation, it is impossible. How do you feed this number of people when you are in a remote and a difficult place? If we were living in today's world, we'd do a quick risk assessment. We'd work out what's going on, do all the tick boxes and say, no, we can't do it. But Jesus doesn't do that. The disciples approached him and came up with some suggestions. They see that it's a remote location. They see there are no shops. This is their risk assessment, effectively. And they don't have enough money. So they cannot see a solution to the problem. And so they suggest to Jesus, and it says this in verse 15, send them away. This is the compassionate heart of the disciples. Send them away. But Jesus comes back and challenges them. He says, no, you give them something to eat. In verse 16, he says, no, you give them something to eat. You've been watching me all day. I have been healing. I have been teaching. I have been doing so many things. You can see what you need to do. You give them something to eat. And they notice one of the boys, and this is in another one of the Gospels, in John, one of the boys has 5 loaves and 2 fishes. They notice this. They don't come up with a suggestion of what to do with it, but they notice it. And Jesus takes what is in the boy's hands. He takes what the boy has. What he does is he gives thanks. He prays to his Father. He gives thanks for what there is. He blesses it. And then he distributes it and asks his disciples to take it out and give it to everybody. So my question to you today is, what do you have in your hands?
This is going to be my challenge. I'm going to try and speak and do something at the same time. Because what I want us to understand is you all have something in your hands. So I have drawn a hand, and I'm really hoping that the children are drawing hands and are actually going to use their hands to explain things as well. So I'm going to try and cut and speak at the same time. May not work as we go along. So children, what do you have in your hands that God wants to bless others with? What do you have in your hands? Now, children, there are always things you can do at home with your hands that can bless others. It may be stack the dishwasher, because we don't do washing up so often these days. Or it may be washing up to help your parents. It may be, how about tidying up? Or it may be putting some food together for you or for your parents. It may be play with a younger child, just to help out at that particular time. It may be sit down and read a book to a younger child. It may be do something in the garden that would really help. Not dig up the plants, but dig up the weeds, if you can recognise the difference. My husband's still struggling to work out the difference between the plants and the weeds. And I hope, children, you're better than he is on that. But what could you do? What do you have in your hands that you could give that will bless your parents and your family? And if you can think of something, then I'm hoping that you can write it down on a piece of paper, which is why I've just spent all that time cutting out a hand. So children, what do you have in your hand that you can bless your family with?
But also, I'm going to ask you, godparents, parents, family members, today, church family members, what do you have in your hands that you can bless and multiply for your family and the kingdom beyond? Noah and Eliza have been welcomed today into the family, which is beautiful to see. And we welcome young people into the family. But godparents, parents, church family members, what do you have in your hands that will bless them to know Jesus so that their faith may grow and multiply and spread the kingdom of God? For many of you, it will be praying with them. For some of you, it'll be reading a Bible story with them. My grandson loves me sitting down reading a Bible story. He may not understand it yet, but something will stay for a long time because you're sowing into their lives. It may be singing songs. It may be bringing them to the children's group. But what do you have in your hands that will bless them? But I want to go back to the start of the story, because there's a deeper meaning in this story that we could miss if we're not careful. For in verse 15, it says, when Jesus saw the crowd, he had compassion on them. We've mentioned what compassion is, seeing the other's needs and giving up your own needs. But we forget that Jesus was grieving the death of his cousin who had just died. He had deliberately wanted to step away, to take time to grieve. He withdrew privately to a solitary place. But on the other side of the shore, Jesus saw people and their needs. And he had compassion on them. He gave up his grieving. He gave up the time that he needed on his own for the people, because he knew that his presence to them at that moment in time was more important than his own needs. I'm always wondering what God is going to give me in terms of an example. And a few weeks ago when I started the thinking for this particular talk, God reminded me of my traveling and my returning home. So for a long number of years, I have been traveling all over the world. I could be traveling for anything from 5 to 15 days. I could be traveling over hours, anything from 2 hours to 20 plus hours. My husband always met me at the airport, which was wonderful. He would know within a short amount of time what state of mind I was in. Because after that amount of traveling, you may not be in a good place to respond to somebody else's questions. I was not always in that good place. We had 15 minutes to get home. But the more important thing was, he was so looking forward to having me home because he would get a decent meal. He's not a particularly good cook. So he can do pizza, he can do sausages, and he can do a little bit with pasta and mince. And so he would be looking forward to me giving him a meal. But I would go to the fridge and find nothing. And I won't tell you the number of conversations we had about, well, what about stocking the fridge before I get home so that I could actually cook something? But he wanted me to make something so that he had a decent meal. And to be quite honest, I could usually find something, whether it's a few eggs or vegetables from the garden or something. I could put a meal together. You can make something out of nothing. But that wasn't the point behind it. What he wanted was my presence. He wanted me to sit down with him for a meal, to be present to him at that moment in time. I had to put down my needs for his needs. And it's taken me a long time to recognize that, because I didn't see the bigger thing that was happening. And this is what Jesus is telling us today. Being present to the people was more important than anything else. The people were crying out for physical food. They were crying out for spiritual food. The people had followed Jesus all the way around the lake. They had stayed up late. They were in a remote place. They were hungry. But being in Jesus' presence satisfied their hunger. And he understood that deeper need that they had. We all have a hunger to live in the presence of Jesus every day. We all want to know about living in his presence. And we have that deep hunger within us. But sometimes we don't know how to do that. How to be fully present to Jesus and those that we are with. And so again, I'm going to say to parents, godparents, family members, how can you be present to Eliza and Noah today and in their lives ahead? Because they want you to be fully present. And that might mean turning off your mobile phones and all the other electronic gadgets, putting them away so that you are fully present. We call it unplugging. Unplugging from the distractions to focus on them. It might be in your workplaces that when you are with someone, that you are fully present to them. You keep eye contact. You engage with them. You don't look over the shoulder and think that person's more important over there. But how do you stay fully present and bring the presence of Jesus into those situations? Because when you do that and look beyond your own needs, to look at the needs of the person you are with, they feel loved and valued. And that's what Jesus wants us to do. He wants everybody to feel loved and valued. Jesus had compassion for the needs of others. That was what he was showing to his disciples and to all those people, by feeding them and by being present. Now, I don't know what's been happening down the side here. I don't know what they've got in their hands. But I'm going to look over there and say, children, have you got anything that you would like to bring forward to show all the church family members that you've been doing today? Have we got anything you'd like to bring forward to show? Sister, you don't know where this is going to happen. Or any children got anything they want to bring forward to show? Yes, there's somebody nodding. Do you want to bring it over then? There, we got some coming. I think there's one there. Oh, what do you have?
I've drawn a SpongeBob. Because of yesterday, I was playing SpongeBob Monopoly with my mum, my dad, and my brother. So I wanted to draw a SpongeBob.
So you love playing with your parents and your brother and doing things with them. So you can do more of that, can't you, in the week to come? That would be lovely. Thank you. Someone else? Oh, what have you got?
I've drawn this fish from the episode that SpongeBob comes from. I've forgotten what it's called. And I've just drawn this fish thing.
So you've been drawing a fish related to the story today. Wonderful, thank you. Oh, what else have we got?
I've drawn around my hands, and then I've wrote things that I can help to tell people about God.
So you've written things that you can tell people about God for. Thank you. Wonderful. Thank you. Oh, we've got a few more. Let's just do three more. Oh, we've got some hands. Four more, then we'll finish there.
Help washing up instead of staying in my room.
So helping to wash up. Is that right? Oh, who's the parents here who are going to get washing up? Whoa, wonderful. We'll keep an eye on that one, shall we?
Say kind words. I like to.
Say kind words.
I like to tidy up my bed and my teddies.
So tidy up the bed. Whoa, where's the parents there? We're going to have tidy up the bed. Oh, you're going to have a wonderful week, aren't you?
I'm thinking that I'm going to do the washing up and tidy the house.
Okay.
And tell people about God.
And tell people at the same time. Brilliant. Thank you.
Hugging.
Hugging. It's going to be hugging people to show that she loves Jesus. What a wonderful way. Let's give the children a clap. Okay, Janet. Well, do remember some of the things. And if you have thoughts about how you could be more present to people, share those at the end of this gathering. I'm going to hand over to Janet.
Thanks a lot, Jill. Thank you. Thanks, Jill. And thank you, children, very much. That's wonderful. So how can we use our hands, use what's in our hands, to show compassion and help others? At the end of our time this morning, if you want to pray about anything or pray with somebody else, can you come and find me or find Jill and just say, I'd like to pray over this thing? That would be great. Right at the end, we're going to have tea and coffee, and very kindly, Patrick and Christine, Noah's parents and their family, have brought us lots of cakes. Think of the kind thing to do, mind you, but there will be cakes there. Let's finish by praising God together. So I'd like to invite you all to stand, please, and let's finish by praising God. Ask them, what did you draw? And keep them to it if they've promised to help with the washing up. But even as adults, there might be something you want to say to somebody else as a result of what Jill was saying. How can I use my hands to God's glory? How can I show compassion to those in need? What do I have in my hands? Do stay for tea and coffee and enjoy the cakes as well. A final blessing. Go forth into the world in peace. Be of good courage. Hold fast that which is good. Render to no one evil for evil. Using our hands, strengthen the faint-hearted, support the weak, help the afflicted, honour everyone, love and serve the Lord, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be amongst us and remain with us always. Amen.